the Sharp 600 brought to you by covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready for betting the NFL draft is Elliot Crist, Chief Operating Officer at FTN Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Elliot Crist. Elliot, great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, man, I miss you. I'm pumped. This is betting the NFL draft is one of my favorite things to do. So I love talking about it, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on again.
And I love following you on Twitter because you get me excited because of how much you talk about NFL draft props. I've really enjoyed doing the research for this because, one, I enjoy learning about this, but it's going to make the NFL draft more fun. So what we're really going to do is help you be more informed about betting the NFL draft. So let's start with this, Elliot. What is your mindset around betting the NFL draft?
I think there's a few points. One is embracing the variance, right? So you don't want to just go off what one mock said, because that's one of the quickest ways to get in trouble. Even if we look at the most accurate mock drafts in the world, you're talking about something that, where they get like 8 to 10 guys right. So embracing the variance, understanding that a lot of dominoes can fall. When you bet on individual players, you want to make sure you have as many outs as possible. When you look for long shot bets, you want to try to find some data that backs it. Like, I'll give you an example. The Tennessee Titans were 31st in the NFL in pressure rate last year. They were fourth worst in sack percentage. Their three most commonly mocked players across every industry expert draft, you know, are all defensive linemen, and Azeez Ojulari, Gregory Rousseau, and Jalen Phillips, which made up about 37% of drafts. That's based on NFL mock draft database.com. They do an awesome job consolidating all the data right there for you. Unfortunately, you can't see beyond the top three, but still 37% of mock drafters gave them one of those three defensive linemen. And then they come in at 8-1 first pick defensive lineman, which is a 12% implied probability. So I'm embracing the variance that is the NFL draft, but I'm saying this is a major need. There's a lot of things connecting them there. And then on top of that, Ojulari's over-under came out at 24.5. Phillips is 21.5. Rousseau has dropped from 25.5 to 30.5, but regardless, like, they're all right in that range too. So now I have enough data points where I feel confident that I have positive expected value on that 12%. And the other thing I'm trying to do is I'm trying to react to news before sports books do, and I'm trying to see what number range I have for that person when I see something. And, you know, if I'm going to bet like over Micah Parsons open at 10.5, it's now 13.5. There's really one out for him to go top 10, and that was the Broncos at 9. And if you look, the Broncos are plus 500 to bet to get Micah Parsons. So, like, there's, you know, you're talking about a 20% probability that he goes under that number and an 80% probability that he goes over. That's a huge opportunity for, you know, a minus 110 bet.
So let's get to mistakes people make. And I'm actually going to use the Micah Parsons example because you'd mentioned he started at 10.5, but now you're seeing 12.5s and 13.5s. And I think one mistake people get is chasing a number and they're not realizing how much one or two draft positions can matter. And this isn't like losing half a point or 1 point on a line. This is a gigantic amount, because if it goes from 10.5 to 13.5, that's like a 33% difference right there on what you could have gotten to where it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, Jamar Chase is another great example where he opened at 6.5 and then he dropped to 5.5 and people are still betting his under. And yes, he could absolutely go to the Bengals. The latest I've heard is that he probably will go to the Bengals. But you can bet the Bengals first pick wide receiver at MGM at plus 160. So why would I take his under at minus 115 when he's not going to the Falcons? He's not going to the Niners. The Jets are dumb. They're not that dumb, right? And Trevor Lawrence is the first pick in the draft. So why would I take something at minus 115 when the opportunity was there to take it minus 115 with 6.5, where it's basically Bengals or Dolphins? If I'm going to take that under, I need to take the plus 160. So yeah, those numbers move, and those draft slots are hugely important. And I think there's a couple of mistakes people make. One is when people say, well, that team's not going to take him anyway, right? So I have Parsons at 10.5 and 11.5 because ultimately, I don't think he goes top 15. But, you know, if he goes all the way up to 13.5, and I say, well, the Eagles or Chargers aren't going to take him there, but that doesn't mean that necessarily the Eagles or Chargers are picking at 12 or 13, especially the later you get in the draft, the more you really want to focus on that. You just want as many outs as possible. Like, Vera Tucker dropped from 17.5 to 16.5. He's 14.5 certain places. Like the difference between 14.5 and 17.5 is so big. You're basically, if you're doing the under there, you're saying he's going to be a Charger or Viking. Now I have at 17.5, I have Charger, Viking, Raider, Patriot, Cardinal, or trade up where a lot of people think he has a chance to go 18 to the Dolphins, but the whole league knows that. So they had teams in the 20 to 23 range, like the Jets, Colts, and Bears might want to jump the Dolphins from getting him. So that one draft slot is incredibly valuable.
I think another mistake people make is actually on the plethora of information that is out there and using almost like a fantasy bias of what you want to have happen. And I think a great example of this is the draft at number 3 with the San Francisco 49ers. We have seen a roller coaster of Mac Jones is the favorite to Justin Fields is the favorite to Mac Jones is now back to being the favorite again. It's looking like Mac Jones is minus 145, Justin Fields is plus 165. And so much of what I hear from the non-respected analysts will tell you why they want Justin Fields. But then I listen to the people who actually know what they're talking about, who are getting into what Kyle Shanahan's system is and what they're looking for. And what does this mean if they were to draft Fields? Well, what's that going to mean for Jimmy Garoppolo in the whole domino effect that goes there? And I think about some other teams in positions where everyone wants it to be sexy in terms of who a team takes. But so often it is not, but it makes great page views to be like 3 first round running backs. Let's do this. And then we look in, that's nowhere close to what actually happens.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one issue with mocks, right? Which is why I don't value any individual mock. I value like the sum total just for those data points, because you don't know what that person's writing the mock for. Right. Like that Mel Kiper and ESPN do mock drafts and then they spend the day debating his mock draft. So he's going to put stuff that's controversial in there for conversation. Right. So you don't want to chase that kind of stuff. And I think your first point is probably one of the single most important aspects, is that what you personally think about a prospect could not matter less. Right. Like I can think Justin Fields is hands down the quarterback 2 in this draft. You know, there's no way he should go past 3 under any circumstances. That's great that I feel that way, but it has nothing to do with what the 49ers will do, right? Unless Kyle Shanahan's calling me for draft advice, what I think of who should go 3 isn't really relevant. And I think we get caught up in that, like, oh man, I love X player. He's so good. He's like, NFL teams are sleeping on him. Da, da, da. He's got to go in the first round. Well, that's great. But again, it just doesn't mean anything. So I think one of the best things you can do is remove any form of personal evaluation, because it's going to cloud your judgment and play bias for unders and overs.
Yeah. So speaking of the number 3 pick, I am on Mac Jones to the 49ers. After this podcast, I'm likely to bet it at the minus 145. From everything that I'm hearing, it seems like it makes the most logical sense from a what Kyle Shanahan looks for in a quarterback and sort of the trajectory of where they're going. What are your thoughts on number 3? Because there is a domino effect based on what happens here.
Yeah, that domino effect is a huge part of betting NFL draft too, right? Like, if Pitts goes 4 and Chase goes 5, the Dolphins might trade back. But if Sewell goes 5, then the Dolphins are staying put, right? And then it starts impacting everything. So that's another huge point. But in terms of the 3rd overall pick, so this is one of the advantages of betting early. I have Mac Jones under 18.5. And then I had Mac Jones not to be the 3rd overall pick at plus 200. And then I got Mac Jones to be the 3rd overall pick at plus 150. So I kind of just set up so that as long as there is a 3rd overall pick, right, and there is an NFL draft, I've set myself up very nicely. I think it's more likely to be Trey Lance than Justin Fields at this point. I think I would rather bet him. I got him at plus 450 over on MGM. I think that's a better value bet. I truly don't know who it's going to be. If I gun to my head, I lean Lance, but Mac Jones is like the whole thing of like, it doesn't make sense to be Mac Jones. I get it. But again, it doesn't necessarily matter. If that's Kyle Shanahan's guy, that's Kyle Shanahan's guy.
So let's get to number 4. So let's assume it's let's just assume it's Mac Jones from the standpoint of he's the favorite right now. We get to number four at the Falcons, and they have just options everywhere. You got Kyle Pitts, who's minus 140, Fields plus 175, Trey Lance plus 230, Mac Jones plus 1,500, Sewell plus 2,400. And it's like, well, what do they do there? Is Matt Ryan the quarterback that they're going to stick with? Do you want generational talent in Kyle Pitts? Do you, as a Falcons team, trade out because another team wants a quarterback? You want to stockpile some picks? What are your thoughts here? Because depending on what happens here, then the rest of the draft board can get completely blown up.
Yeah, when you're betting those top 10 picks, you're paying a lot of attention to what happens at four, because it's going to directly correlate with, like, does Devontae Smith go top 10, for example, because if there's no weapons, now the next weapon gets pushed up the board potentially, or Sewell falls, which means Slater could fall, right? Like, there's a lot of domino effects. So I think right now, from a couple people I've talked to, the Falcons believe they should take Pitts unless they get a crazy offer, which they have not gotten to this point. If they take Pitts, like you said, I think you said he's minus 140. I grabbed Falcons first pick plus 160 to be a tight end the other day. So I thought that was, like, a good value add. I don't believe in betting Kyle Pitts is under 5.5, because it's four or it's after, right? The Bengals, every single thing from everyone is it's Chase or Sewell. Pitts is not in that conversation. So I would rather get the plus money that he's the fourth overall pick. Now that he's minus 140, it's a great example of what we talk about, where the value of this is probably gone. And as much fun as Kyle Pitts is to talk about, it's okay also to not bet him.
And I think one thing that's important with this is some of the numbers we're throwing out, can't say I exactly wake up in the morning and be like, hey, I can't wait to drop minus 140 or minus 750 to get some of these bets that are out there. So remember, the NFL draft is fun, but you want to do so in an informed manner where you're not just getting eaten up by this juice, and then all of a sudden something doesn't go your way and you're sitting there with these terrible payouts.
Yeah, that's a huge aspect of this. I don't want to bet any heavy favorite draft stuff. Basically, in general, I think the most heavily juiced thing I have is Zach Wilson to be the second overall pick at minus 280. And that's now minus 5,000. So I was willing to pay that price tag, but I don't like doing heavily juiced things because there's so much variance in the NFL draft.
What are your thoughts in terms of the ways that we can chop this up? So I'm looking here, Justin Fields over 3.5, minus 230, under 3.5, plus 184. So we can choose the position in which they do, but you can also say, all right, who does the team take? What position do they take? And you've got these over-unders in a variety of different ways to chop this up. What are you adding to your card from a variety standpoint? Because I can't imagine it's just one type of bet.
Oh, no. Basically, you name them, I have them. I have landing spot bets for long shots. Like, I have Devontae Smith to the Giants. Not necessarily because I thought it was going to happen, but it was plus 225 everywhere, and MGM hung out plus 500. I have, like, first defender drafted in J.C. Horn at 10-1. It's one of these situations where he's 2-1 to be the first corner, but his prop line is now lower than Parsons and Pays, and it's going to come down to certain all mocks and information right now. It seems like it's going to come down to the first defensive player being corner. So why would I take Horn at plus 200 there when I can get him at 8 or 10-1? Now, Surtain probably ends up as the first defender, but I feel like I have good odds there. A landing spot, first position, I think is really interesting. So I have the Titans 8-1 to do defensive line. The Jets interior offensive line, like, does not exist. Like, it's literally made up players. And they were 6-1 to for their 23rd overall pick, which is their second pick. That's one question I get asked is, if the team trades back, does it still count? Yes, it's whoever their first pick is to be 6-1. So I've got player over-unders. It's one of those situations where I'm really trying to evaluate what the number is. You know, I have under 4.5 linebackers at minus 167. And honestly, I think that the line's a mistake because DraftKings has listed Azeez Ojulari as a linebacker. And he's listed on NFL.com as an edge. And that's the position that everyone kind of associates with him. And the count is based on what is announced on draft day. Now, there is some precedent that he could be announced as a linebacker, but it's probably 80% edge. So they're counting him as one of those linebackers. I think even with him, it doesn't go over 4.5. But if you eliminate that, this bet would be like minus 300. So finding different values like that, I think, is also valuable.
All right. So I want to get a little bit deeper into how you're finding that value, because you do a ton of research, because this is what you do for a living all day, every day. But the casual fan who says, hey, I'm ready to bet the NFL draft, and I look and it's like, how many offensive linemen are going to be taken? It's like 6.5 in the first round or some number like that. How should we, the casual bettor, be sizing this up? Is it more important to find the sources like you guys, like Covers, the people out there, and say, hey, let somebody else do the research, as opposed to manually having to go in? Because what I like about talking with you is I know you know your stuff, because you're digging into where someone can go, the variance. You're looking at the lines here. You're like, this just makes sense. There's only one or two outs there. But for the casual fan who's not going to be doing all of this research, how can we best do it? Because I heard, hey, more offensive linemen are going to go this in the first round than we expect. All right, I'm on board for that, except I have no way to say, is 6.5 a good or a bad number?
Right. Like, what's the difference between 6.5 and 5.5 if I just think a lot of offensive linemen are going, right? Like, I think that's a great call. I think the draft is one of those things where you probably want to lean on people more than anything else, because the windows are so small and these lines move so quickly that you want to be able to recognize something and react to it quickly. So, I mean, I think guys like myself, and there's a lot of other ones, are worth following on Twitter. It's not necessarily just tail their picks, but they're tweeting out good information revolving around the draft. In terms of players, one of the things I like to do for those over-under bets is, you know, again, NFL mock draft database is one of the best resources for this kind of stuff. You can see consensus mocks, how often guys are going in different spots, how often guys are going in the first round, all that kind of stuff. You really want to start looking at locks for the first round. And one thing that can help with this is, now that we're a week out from the draft, so many guys have player props. I mean, I mentioned Vera Tucker, Darius Shaw, Tevin Jenkins just came out today, and Landon Dickerson has been anywhere from 29.5 to 40.5, right? Like, we start having a lot of guys that say, DraftKings just came out selling today, where is this player a top 32 pick? Now, the odds are slanted because they don't have to provide a no, it's just a yes, but it's still not the worst, you know, method to look at. And we can say, okay, we've got 6 offensive linemen with 25.5 or lower totals. We've got in that back 7, we've got 4 teams that are their most likely draft position is offensive linemen. We've in mock drafts, we've got like 5 guys that typically go from 25 to 40 that are offensive linemen. I need one of those to hit, right? So like at that point, I think it's a good number. So if you can't do the research on your own, those are like the data points I like to use of what are the player props. Now that DraftKings literally has every single team's most likely position, and it's implied probability, right? Because it's suggested odds. So you can really start to get a really good sense of that. And the other point I like to think about is, when does the run start, right? So like if I have Parsons dropping, so if he's no longer going to be a top 10 pick, and now he might go in the 15 to 20 range, right? So now we've got the kid out of Notre Dame having a chance to slide down a little. It just starts pushing people down the board. But if I've got Slater and Sewell as top 10 picks, okay, they're off the board. Now we've got 13 and 14. Chargers and Vikings are both minus 110 to draft linemen. We've got Darius Shaw, 16.5. We got Vera Tucker, 16.5. Oh boy, 4 offensive linemen might be off the board in the top 14 picks. And then we've got teams like the Raiders, the Colts, the Bears, the Jets, the Packers, the Chiefs. Like, there's a lot of teams who their top 2 positions are now offensive linemen, with guys like Tevin Jenkins there. You know, it's just, you start checking a lot of boxes that there. I have a lot of outs here. I hate having one out. And with the NFL draft, my whole goal is, how many outs can we get?
Yeah, I think one position I want to get into is running back, because it is a very sexy position. It goes to what I said of all the mock drafts. What are they saying? We love Najee Harris. He's the best running back, and you can just envision him going somewhere. Of course, why would we not want that? Well, we see the props out there that total running backs in the first round over under is just 0.5. The over is minus 270. The under is plus 200. Breaking this down, the last 10 drafts saw just 14 first-round running backs. In six of the years, had no running backs taken. And so often, you're seeing the Pittsburgh Steelers, my team, taking Najee Harris in the first round at 24. When was the last time the Steelers took a running back in the first round? 2008 to Rashard Mendenhall. And the more I hear it, I know as a Steelers fan, they rarely draft sexy. Usually I look at their pick and I'm like, this is boring. I don't know this player. Boom. But you trust them. Remember, Le'Veon Bell, he was a second round pick there. So while the Steelers running game may have been trash last year, the fact of the matter is, running backs are not first round commodities as much now as it was back in the day. So even look at Leonard Fournette, was having a hard time finding a spot to land, who is a number four overall pick. And you're just seeing, take someone like Mostert on the 49ers. I know that he's someone who gets injured often, but he could very easily be a replacement level player that could fit into a system like this. I'm not buying the sexiness of the running backs because we want to put that in there. And certainly from the Steelers standpoint, I'm not buying it. For me, I think offensive linemen, the way that you win in the NFL is offensive and defensive line. I think the teams that draft wide receivers and running backs early, it's the wrong thing. Like when I hear the Detroit Lions wanting to take a wide receiver, it makes me want to throw up. I'm like, really? The Lions? You need to build in these trenches. I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, so with the running backs, they always get pushed up in mock drafts to the point of the sexiness thing, right? Harris is open at plus 120. He's as high as minus 170 to be the first running back off the board. I do ultimately believe that he is going to be a first-round pick. The Steelers should not take Najee Harris. Their offensive line is abysmal. That does not mean they will not take Najee Harris, though. That's the other thing, is just because an NFL team shouldn't do something, right? Like, look at Seattle every single year. Stop drafting fifth-round guys in the first round. But with Najee, I think a couple things are interesting. Like, the Dolphins at 18 are a commonly mocked place for him, the Jets at 23. I don't think the Dolphins would take him at 18. They're an analytics team. But if they traded down from, let's say, 18 to 20, I'm just making up scenarios, right? 18 to 28 because the team wanted to come up. Now they might view a Najee Harris in that light of saying, well, we've added the draft capital. This makes a lot more sense for us to do in this situation. We do think he's a premium player. The one thing I think that helps the running backs this year is there's three guys in ETN, Harris, and Javonte Williams. And then everyone else is considered, like, bad. It's really three guys with that first to second round talent, and then a bunch of guys who are fourth or fifth round guys. And we've seen the fourth or fifth round guys work in the NFL, but they're very average prospects, which can push those guys up the board. So ultimately, I think that Harris will go on round one. I think Javonte Williams may end up going ahead of Travis Etienne. I think Etienne will go early round two, like in that 32 to 40 range.
What are your thoughts on Devonta Smith? We're seeing so much now that he weighs 160 pounds, and it's like, is he falling now? And the props relating to that, I'm seeing an over-under of an 11.5, overs minus 122. What are your thoughts on him? Because he was so dynamic, but when you look at the mold of an NFL player, I mean, am I to believe that he is the better version of John Ross, who the Bengals fell in love with a while ago, who didn't end up panning out?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you want to point to Devontae Smith, you're going to have to say, well, he's got to be an outlier, right? Because he's 166 pounds and 6 feet tall. The thing that Devontae Smith has going for him is he just had one of the best seasons in the history of football, won the Heisman Trophy. So he's like, I am the outlier. Like, look at the tape, right? He plays a lot stronger than he was. He's the only receiver to ever have more than 60 yards against J.C. Horn, who's considered the best press man corner in the draft. He gave a 26% catch rate last year. He's incredibly physically dominant, and Smith beat him. So I think he's got that in his cap. If you want to say Devontae Smith is going to be a star, the two people I think you look to are Isaac Bruce and Marvin Harrison. Those are the guys that you probably have to convince yourself. I think the Dolphins might take them. I think they'd want to trade back if they do. I really think the Giants are the team to watch out for if you're going to take his over-under at 11. Dave Gettleman is kind of that old school guy of like, he's just a great football player. What do you mean? He just won the Heisman Trophy. Like, if you watch his post-game press conferences, he falls in love with those kind of guys. And we've seen the money start to move that way. And there's a couple people connected to the Giants who have tweeted that they're very interested in them. I think Smith is, like, I put a little bit of, like, I put, like, a quarter of a unit on him to go to the Giants at plus 500 because it was just good market value. Ultimately, I think Devontae Smith is one of those guys that I'm incredibly excited to see where he goes, but I don't want to bet it.
All right. I'm curious your thoughts on deep options. And we're recording this on Thursday at noon Eastern. And someone like I see Kellen Mond over under 83.5, Ian Book over under 219.5. And all of a sudden, I'm actually really excited to start betting these later round guys. Why? Because now when you're watching day two of the draft, you actually have a vested interest. But here becomes the challenge. There is such a variance now that we're dealing with. As you're getting round, around, around Ian Book, it's like, could he go undrafted? Maybe. I don't know. So what are your thoughts on these deep options? Because from a variance level, it seems gigantic, which to me, for a sports bettor, sign me up for high variance.
Yeah, what I did with Kellen Mond is I bet him to go in the second round at plus 700. And I'm probably going to add something at plus 250 to go in the third round. At that point, you know, I feel like I'm kind of covering my bases. If he does that under, I win a lot more than just kind of the standard straight up bet, right? Because it actually covers a fair amount. Quarterbacks tend to go early or they tend to drop like rocks. One of the gifts from the gods last year was Jacob Eason opened up at 41.5 and Jake Fromm opened up at like 47.5. And these guys were fourth and like sixth round picks. I was really hoping that ESPN, when they were pushing Davis Mills might go in the first round. I was like, please, for the love of God, hang out a number like 37.5. Once you get the 200s, though, I mean, I feel like you're legit guessing. I think it's tough. The one great thing that they do though is they've added they will add bets on Friday morning for guys who've fallen in new over unders, and they'll set a bunch of guys in the second round, and the third day they'll have all the quarterbacks as well. So and they've, like, this week they'll continue to add more and more. Like, DraftKings literally, while we're on the show, just added player to be drafted first, Parsons versus J.C. Horn, and Fairley versus Greg Newsome, and things like that. So I think there's a lot of really interesting ways to bet the draft. And but Mond, I think I bet Mond where round two and three before I bet his under.
And I really like the matchups because now it's just a one-to-one basis and you're not having to hit something exactly per se. As we get out, Elliot, are there any picks or players or bets that you want to throw out that you like or that we should be aware of or keep on our radar? Because this is something that between now and the draft, we've got a week, we're going to keep on getting more information. There's going to be more action, but can you help us out right now with what some things you like?
Yeah, absolutely. I've tried to throw as many as I can out throughout this entire process, but I'll add a couple more. I think Ravens first pick wide receiver plus 200 makes a lot of sense. Mel Kiper is someone I don't want to say we ripped on him a little bit, but we just kind of talked about ESPN's philosophy. The one pick he's been most accurate with historically is the Ravens. He's a fan of that team, has a lot of connections. He has repeatedly put wide receivers to the Baltimore Ravens this offseason. So I think that one's really interesting. I really, really like Tevin Jenkins under 26.5. A couple people I've talked to have told me his floor is 25 and they know some things. So I feel like a guy who hasn't given up a sack in 2 years in a league that's desperate for offensive linemen, with so many teams in that 17 to 25 range that are looking for tackles and guards, makes a lot of sense. I like Rashad Bateman under 27.5. I think he's going to be a solid wide receiver four in this class. I think he can go as high as like 16 and as low as 29. So I think I have a lot of outs there with his under. Asante Samuel Jr. under 41.5. He's met with basically every single team at the back from 20 to 32. And Caleb Farley's back problems are something that people are really, really worried about. I think he could end up as the fourth quarter in the draft. And then Caleb Fairley over 21 and a half. I think there's a decent chance he falls all the way out of the first round. So because of those back issues. So those are a few I like. And Jalen Phillips is another one. This is one of those you got to shop around. I got it originally at 26 and a half. DraftKings opened at 17 and a half. They then jumped it to 21 and a half. It stayed at 21 and a half there. Other places it's 25 and a half, like minus 150. I would pay the 150 juice to get those four more spots. This guy would be a top 10 lock in this class if it wasn't for his concussion concern. But there's a lot of teams that have fallen in love with his talent. And if you look the last 6 years, the average edge two goes pick nine. So like you said earlier, you win in the trenches, right? Pass rushers don't fall. Offensive linemen don't fall. So those are the two positions where I try to take advantage of. Vera Tucker's value is gone, but when it was 17 and a half, it was one of my favorites. So there are a bunch more, but I hope that's I feel like I gave about like 20 picks out. So I hope that's helpful to some people listening.
It was absolutely fantastic. Elliot, really enjoy following you. You're a wealth of information. Where can everybody connect with you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Elliot Crist, ELIOTCRIST. All my draft work can be found on ftnbets.com. All the articles, the bet the mocks, the long shot picks, all those things that I'm writing up are completely free. So make sure you head to ftnbets.com. You can read all the work and just interact with me on Twitter. I'm happy to answer any questions I can.
And I want to hear from you. What is your NFL draft card looking like? Who do you have at three? Who do you have at four? Is there any bets that particularly stand out to you? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, you want to be a sharp? Don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money.
The book of the devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.